Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the heart of liberal Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Best friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Now here are your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we are sliding into the hump day, 4 o'clock, happy hour. And we're joined right now live via phone by a fine guest. He is John Nichols from The Nation. John, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, John.
Hey, it's an honor to be with you two.
Thank you, sir.
John, we were just talking mask mandates and coronavirus. You know, it's been like a year and a half we've been having this conversation. Wanted to get your reaction. It seems like karma's kind of coming home to roost. Be it Bishop Burke or be it Jacques, Andre Jacques, a couple of prominent Wisconsinites now have the COVID-19 and have been hospitalized. John, how should we react to that, other than thoughts and prayers, of course?
Well, you should. I mean, we should be very sympathetic to anybody that comes down with this, because this is a serious ailment and it could do you in. I mean, it's bad stuff, and we should all be conscious of that threat. And it's not just some prominent folks on, you know, different political edges or whatever. There are a lot of people getting sick. I'm hearing, you know, more people that I know coming down with this variant than at some of the peak times last year. So we should be very, very concerned. We should definitely wish everybody who's sick that they improve quickly, that they get better, that they make it through. And then we should be conscious of the moment that we're living in. And if we are conscious of the moment that we are living in, it is one where there is simply no question that it is irresponsible. It is irresponsible to go without a mask in a tight setting, any kind of situation like that. It is irresponsible not to report if you get ill. It is irresponsible to be out there advocating against mask mandates, against social distancing, and frankly, against vaccinations. This is a time when we ought to get serious about this. In fact, I think it's as serious a time as in some of the peak moments last year. It's just that we haven't quite fully wrapped our head around it, but we're going to have to do so pretty quickly if we're going to avoid having another fall and winter like the fall and winter of 2020 into 2021.
Well, John, I was certainly far more empathetic at that time. I mean, there was no vaccine a year ago. Now there is. You know, there is effectively a magic bullet. And, you know, I guess it's a terrible analogy, John, but, you know, when I hear about the drunk driver that went out and crashed his car and he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, and, you know, while I hate to see the tragedy, but I think to myself, well, you kind of did that to yourself. Now, John, I know this makes me a terrible human being, but they're the party of personal responsibility. Do we have to feel empathetic or sympathetic for those that refuse to do the right thing? Maybe advocate against it. Hell, you know, they're researchers. They've been on YouTube, John. Don't they deserve what they get?
Nope, they don't. They don't. Sorry. I know you want to. I understand that you want to, you know, point a finger of blame here, and I respect that. But at the end of the day, and I hate, you know, I hate to be the responsible person here, you know, mind you. But
well, on this panel, you'd have to be the responsible person,
yeah,
John.
I hate to play that role, but I got to tell you, this is serious stuff. And so, I guess my vision of it is a little bit different than the scenario you're playing out there. My vision is, and I always have believed this, as a believer in Christian faith, that, you know, when you come to the altar, you know, if you sinner that you may be, we accept you, right? You know, and so for those folks who have resisted a proper approach as regards this ailment, you know, they're getting a pretty good signal that it's time to change course, to get serious about this, to stop playing politics with it, and to start recognizing that, you know, we're in a life and death situation. And, you know, one of the things about Senator Jock there, you know, who's ailing now, and again, who I hope gets better, he was in a hearing room with people, some of whom are in vulnerable situations.
Yeah.
And so he may get better, right? But somebody that he might have gotten sick could really go through something horrible, even die. And so what I want to do now, and I don't want to be all preachy about this, but what I want to do now is kind of open the door and say, hey, come on, but now's the time to get straight on this stuff. Because if you don't recognize the threat that is coming at us, then, you know, you're going to be as guilty as a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice.
John,
and remember, our Supreme Court, our state Supreme Court is made up of some of the guiltiest players as regards what we're going through right now that you will find. They're the ones who have blocked these mandates and who have, you know, made officials afraid or uncertain about doing the things that they have to do. And so if we want to get mad at somebody, it's the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They are the most irresponsible and the most dangerous players in our state at this point.
I'm not clear if I wouldn't throw Chris Kapinga and maybe Steve Noss in that group. And hell, looking down to the South, we've got governors like Abbott and DeSantis.
No.
Well,
yeah.
John,
I mean, DeSantis is a horrible player. You know, I mean, I will. Let's be very clear. DeSantis is maybe in the whole country the worst of the bunch, and I'll tell you why. He's running for president on this stuff. He's literally, you know, sacrificing his state in order to position himself as a presidential candidate. And I would dare say that is uglier than what you would expect from Donald Trump.
No, you probably make a point, John. When Scott Walker was sacrificing his state so he could run for president, it was only high-speed rail and, you know, jobs and a casino and, you know, money for the Bucs stadium.
Worker
it was
rights,
just poor, you know, poor financial fiduciary sort of decisions on behalf of the constituents. I guess he didn't willingly and directly cost any lives, at least not as far as I'm. My memory, a little sketchy, John.
Let me pause you here a little bit. You know, as much as I'd love to defend Scott Walker, I do believe he was a little resistant to that Medicare money.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's our pal John Nichols, National Affairs Correspondent with The Nation, joining us. John, always a pleasure to talk with you. Real quick, I guess, on the topic of the COVID, you know, I guess what gets me, and I get it, you know, Crudy is kind of a terrible human being, and I'm not a fan of the bad karma. But what really gets me, I think, more than anything is the fact that people like Andre Jacques and Cardinal Burke and Governor Greg Abbott, they have a platform. They have influence.
Yeah.
They could impact greatly this issue, and instead they're not, and now they're paying the price for their own actions. But as you mentioned, certainly also being reported, Jacques has a baby around, so, you know, other people can get hurt, and other people in those committee hearings, John, as you mentioned, could also get infected. So I'm hoping they change their stance. I hope it doesn't take a death of one of theirs to make them do that. But one other person also who had a platform on this, John, was Wisconsin State Senator Ron Johnson, and he used his GAC committee to talk about hydroxychloroquine, and he apparently did some really good constituent services, as ProPublica reported this week. John, what's your take on the senator from Wisconsin?
Well, Ron Johnson's an indefensible human being. I mean, if he was just a conspiracy theorist, that would be bad, right? I mean, because the conspiracy theories are dangerous, and he has peddled some incredibly dangerous ones. But as ProPublica has now confirmed, he's a grifter, right? He's a guy who got himself into a position of power, and now he's taking care of himself and his friends, not in the small, usual, you know, kind of like respectable corruption kind of model of, you know, taking a bribe or something like that. He's rewriting tax laws and holding up legislation in order to create protections for himself and for his friends. And as ProPublica reveals, he has taken, in this case, potentially as much as $500 million. I'm going to repeat that figure, $500 million out of the treasury and given it to his wealthy friends, right, via tax breaks. And that's just about as immoral as you can get.
Well, so, John, but what do we do about it? I mean, I'm with you. I think it's a terrible look, and he hasn't decided whether or not he's going to run. But, I mean,
I hope he runs. I hope he runs so that responsible people can vote against him. You know what I mean? It's just he doesn't deserve the easy exit of retirement, right? He should put his name on the ballot after everything he's done. And frankly, I hope I know it's a fantasy, but I would hope he'd get beaten in a Republican primary by somebody better than him. But unfortunately, the Republican Party tends to look for people worse than Ron Johnson. So at this point,
well, speaking of worse, John, speaking of slightly worse than Ron Johnson, I heard it predicted, perhaps reliably, perhaps not, recently, that if Ron Johnson doesn't run, Scott Walker's gonna. Want to get your opinion on the Wankinator senatorial campaign?
Absolutely, Scott Walker for Senate. I'm on board for that. please. I'm willing. I'm going to rewrite my scenario here. I am willing to accept a Ron Johnson step down if Scott Walker will run for that Senate seat.
But
sure. I would love to see him carry the burden of Donald Trump and his own governorship into an election.
Yes,
John Nichols.
Up for that.
John, can you stick around a few more minutes? We'd love to keep you for one more segment.
We've only begun.
Oh, the summer of loving's only begun. We got the finest of guests. He's John Nichols. We are the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. I know you will.
I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.
As do Trump supporters.
Having a great time.
The Devil's Advocates, because it's always 420 somewhere.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you so much for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you download the super cool Devil Radio app. Go to your Google or Apple App Store and look for Devil Radio.
Dominic, we got the finest guest. He is John Nichols from The Nation, the Cap Times locally. He's a friend of ours, most importantly. And John, we appreciate you sticking around. I want to get a quick question in about the senatorial field. All the Democrats that want to oppose Ron Johnson, or maybe the wanker, but they would sure like to serve in the U.S. Senate. John, we just had Stephen Olakara on our show yesterday. We had Dr. Bettino recently, and we've tried to get as many of them as they've made their announcements as we can. But, John, want to get your impression. Other than the fact that we got a couple of very wealthy Democrats running for the U.S. Senate, what have your impressions been of the field?
I think it's a strong field, actually, and it's early in the game. To my sense right now, I mean, I'd love to see a good poll, right? There was a little poll out of Milwaukee County, but it was incredibly narrow and I think basically just measured some name recognition. I was sorry that the Marquette poll, when they came out with their latest survey a week or so ago, didn't have a Senate measure in it. My sense is that Mandela Barnes, the lieutenant governor, who got in relatively recently, has started very strong. He waited to enter the race, but when he did enter, he entered with a lot of attention and, frankly, a lot of significant endorsements from around the state. So I think that he is doing quite well at this point. I think it might be fair to say he's the front runner. I do think you have tiers in this race. A group of people who are reasonably well known or who are clearly going to be able to self-finance to some extent. And so that would create a tier with Mandela Barnes, unquestionably, State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, and of course, Alex Lazary of the Bucks fame. And I think they form a tier. I think Thomas Nelson from up and out of Gamey County is running a very, very energetic race and working really hard. I mean, I'm struck by the amount of energy he's put into it. And I think that has had some impact for him too. And he's in serious contention. I think there's a number of other people who've entered in who frankly are going to have to do a lot of work to get themselves, into competition with that other tier. I'm struck by, last thing I'll say on all this, is that Alacara's entry is interesting because he started with some significant endorsements, and that counts for something in Wisconsin politics. I think especially for him having the endorsement of Barbara Lawton, the former lieutenant governor, who has a lot of respect with the party base, is a big deal. So, he's got something to recommend there. But at this point, with that, all of that said, I think this is still a reasonably open race that certainly anybody in the upper tier could win. And potentially, if they get traction, somebody, who's kind of not in that upper tier could move up.
John, what are the Republican wannabe governors waiting for? How about Rebecca Clayfish? What about Bill McCashin? When are they going to get in the race and give Tony someone to run against?
Yeah, I mean, and where is Reince Priebus, man? I want Reince Priebus to run.
Oh, we all want Reince Priebus to run.
First off, the name alone is a winner, right? And he's got a stellar record of electoral victories, coming relatively close to, Bob Wirch down in Kenosha. I would like Priebus to get in there, and I would hope he'd be the first across the line. I'd like him to explain what it was like when Trump left him on the tarmac at the airport after he was fired. I think that what in reality is happening is that Ron Johnson, who screws up everything, right? I mean, let's just be clear. The only thing that Ron Johnson ever gets right is a tax break for one of his friends. Ron Johnson is sort of messing up the governor's race because I think they're all waiting to see whether Johnson announces. If Johnson announces, right, then all the energy goes into the governor's race. And nobody's going to challenge Johnson in that primary except for, somebody cool. And they're a little short on cool people. So the energy is going to head to the governor's race. And, of course, this all brings us back to Mike Gallagher, right? Mike Gallagher, the congressman from northeastern Wisconsin, he's got a pretty good template as a Republican candidate. He's not a real full Trumper, but he's, got a lot of things that might recommend him. If Johnson quits, then Gallagher and Kevin Nicholson jump into that Senate race right away and have a, bloody primary about who's the most Trump. But if Johnson runs, then Gallagher, it becomes interesting because there's that possibility that Gallagher runs for governor, maybe even Kevin Nicholson, who's got a lot of money behind him, runs for governor. And I think everybody's kind of waiting to see that play out. And so you ask, when are they going to get in? I think the person to ask is your old buddy Ron Johnson.
John Nichols, National Affairs Correspondent with The Nation. We're going to have about 90 seconds on this one. I want to get your take on President Biden's approach and performance with regards to Afghanistan.
He did the right thing. It's time to withdraw. Did he plan it as well as he should have? Nope. He extended the exit time beyond what Trump had proposed. So Trump is the guy who actually did the withdrawal plan. Biden extended that, but I don't think they made as effective use of the time that they had. Now Biden's responsibility is to make sure that the Americans who are there get out, that the people who helped the Americans get out, and to make sure that there's a good and honest welcome for the refugees coming out of Afghanistan. At the bottom line, I'm glad that Biden made the choice that he did. to see through the withdrawal. Now he has a responsibility to make sure that the exit is done in the best possible way.
Well, John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times, I'm going to try and make your exit as clean and as generous as possible. We always appreciate you coming around, John. Thank you so much.
I appreciate being with you. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Always is, John. Appreciate it, man.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We can talk to you next if you dial the phone at 844-967-2789.
That may be number nine.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
I so love this country.